This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 31st of July 2015. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 30th of July 2015, which this week has been edited by Jean Carswell, Ken Clemenson and Barbara Chase. Our readers today are Claire Caffrine.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are Prison Deaths Inquiry, Housing Plan Under Fire on Traffic Issue, and Care Must Improve After Surprise Check. So we start off with the story behind the first headline.
Prison Deaths Inquiry. Investigations have been launched following two deaths within days of each other at Winchester Prison. As reported by the Hampshire Chronicle, campaigner Hayden Burton was found hanging in his cell on July the 15th. He was taken to hospital, where he died 3 days later. Now it has been revealed that a second man, Daryl Hargreave, 22, of Gosport, also died after being found unresponsive in his cell. It is understood he too was found hanging. Like Mr. Burton, Mr. Hargreave was on the remand wing of the prison where he was being detained on a GBH charge. When asked about the circumstances of Mr. Hargreave's death, a prison service spokesman said, "Staff attempted CPR. He was taken to an outside hospital but pronounced dead at 4 p.m. The Ministry of Justice was unable to say how long he had been in prison. The spokesman said both deaths were now under investigation. Both incidents are being investigated by the Prisons and Probation Ombudsman, but he refused to comment further. Prison has now come under pressure from criminal justice campaign groups to look into whether there are any links between the deaths. The Criminal Justice Alliance, CJA, formed of more than 70 groups that want to improve the justice system, said it was shocking that the deaths occurred within days of each other. Director of CJA, Ben Summerskill, said, "This is the kind of thing that we are increasingly concerned about. When this happens once, it's a tragedy. When it happens twice in a very short space of time, we would hope that the prison itself looks very closely at whether there's a link between these incidents. It's shocking that this should be happening at all in prisons, let alone on a regular basis." Mr. Burton, 42, formerly of Wolf Close in Stanmore, died on July the 18th after he was found hanging in his cell on July the 15th. A memorial has been set up in Winchester High Street for Mr. Burton, who had become well known in Winchester over the last couple of months for protesting for equal rights. Dressed as Superman with a loudhailer, he was a member of New Fathers for Justice.
Housing plan under fire on traffic issue. A controversial proposed development on the edge of the city has again come under fire amid claims it will do nothing but contribute to Winchester's traffic problems. Linden Homes have submitted plans for 350 homes at Pitt Vale, reduced from the original plan for 500 following consultations with local residents and ward councillors. The new site, which sits between the village of Pitt and Pitt Manor, known locally as Winchester Village, is aimed to, quote, "address the current shortage of housing supply in Winchester," unquote. But following the severe bottleneck at the Badger Farm Road roundabout, residents claim Rumsey Road has become nothing short of a car park since Pitt Manor's development, and another 350 homes will far from help. Hursley Parish Council Chairman Eleanor Bell said, "Linden Homes think it's intelligent to put another 350 homes just south of Pitt Roundabout. You cannot just expand without thinking. No matter how nice the house is or how needed, it's not the way to do it. You cannot just stick them up anywhere. You have to look at the infrastructure first. But Linden Homes say they will discuss infrastructure issues with the Highways Authority in due course, and that their development will give a big donation to the City Council's Community Infrastructure Levy. A spokesman for the firm said, "Linden Homes' highways consultants have undertaken technical work which, using locally sourced data, has demonstrated that the development would generate approximately 170 two-way movements in a peak hour, of which 65 would travel along Rumsey Road into and out of central Winchester. This equates to approximately one additional vehicle per minute through Killam Lane and Battery Hill." The property developer has long claimed, since the original 500-home proposition was rebuffed by residents, that Winchester City Council will fail to meet its new housing quota. The spokesperson added, "As the council is not able to demonstrate a five-year supply of housing, as required by the National Planning Policy Framework, the decision was taken to submit an outline planning application to help address the council's shortfall. When taking a decision on the proposals, Winchester City Council's planning officers and elected members will have to take these views into account, along with the demonstrable need for new housing in the city." Winchester City Council were unable to comment on the current application. Councillor Jan Warwick said, "As local ward councillors, we are concerned about the impact on the local infrastructure if this development goes ahead. Any development on this scale at Pitt Vale will add to the burden on local schools and doctor surgeries, as well as dominating the historic hamlet of Pitt."
Care must improve after surprise check. A Winchester care home has come under fire from the Care Quality Commission following a surprise inspection. The old parsonage in Otterbourne did not have a registered manager in place when inspectors arrived, and there was an insufficient number of nurses on the afternoon shift to meet all the residents' needs, a report concluded. Four out of five assessed areas of care – safe, effective, caring, responsive and leadership – required improvement, according to the report, which identified several areas of concern. Inspectors noted that staff at the 28-bed Brendon Care Home did not always store medicines away safely, and that some residents were at risk of dehydration, as food and fluid charts were not correctly completed. The inspection report said trolleys and wheelchairs were left in corridors, which was unsafe for people with reduced mobility or who were at risk of falls. In total, inspectors identified four breaches of the Health and Social Care Act 2008. But inspectors did note the good relationship staff had with residents, who were noted to promote kindness and a good level of social activities, as well as a positive and open culture of the home with the family feel. Brendon Care has confirmed they acknowledged the issues raised and will continue to improve the care provided. They said that a full review of their care planning and medication management is currently underway to address the actions required as set out by the CQC. Carol Sawyers, Chief Executive for Brendon Care, said, "We welcome the CQC's feedback on how we can improve the services which we provide to our residents at the old parsonage. We are confident that the changes we are making will address the concerns highlighted and help us to continue to deliver the best possible care for people living there."
That concludes the headline stories, and we now continue with the death announcements. Cutler, Frank William Cutler, at home on the 23rd of July, aged 79. Hampton, George William Hampton, at home on the 26th of July, aged 83. Hole. Lawrence Neville Hole, in hospital on the 15th of July, aged 84. Lacey, Chris Lacey, on the 25th of July, aged 65. O'Neill, Hilda Mary O'Neill, née Solos, at on the 23rd of July, aged 99. Pooley, Marjorie Pooley, at home on the 13th of July, aged 86. Tabbitt, Leslie, known as Tom Tabbitt, on the 24th of July at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 67. Tatum, Leonard Edgar Tatum, in hospital on the 22nd of July, aged 93. Wetherall, Donald Wetherall, on the 22nd of July, aged 79. Sorry, there's a correction. There is a there's two items here. I'll just read them again. There was Wetherall Donald on the 22nd of July, and then there was a Wetherall Donald George Wetherall on the 20th of July, aged 79. There are separate entries, but it may very well be the same person, because, although the date of death is given differently on both of them. I'm sorry, I can't resolve that one. Witcher, Ruth Emmeline Witcher, née Hutchins, on the 20th of June, aged 95. Next, we have Christian comment.
Mission Impossible. Friday the 31st of July is the release date for the latest film in the Mission Impossible series, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. These films, based on the television series of the same name, have become cult viewing, bringing in billions of dollars. A team of crack operatives under their hero leader, played by Tom Cruise, take on tasks that prevent the baddies, rogue individuals, causing such mayhem as global nuclear war. This film release, with this title, in the news a week before the 70th anniversary of the atomic bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, caused me to reflect on what it takes sometimes to bring or maintain peace in our world. The dropping of these bombs was one of the few major issues I fell out with my father about. In the 1960s, I had wanted to join the Ban the Bomb marches being held in London. He expressly forbade me to take part, but wouldn't really discuss it further, other than to say I wouldn't have been born if the bombs had not been dropped. My mother said I should not argue, in such a tone that for once I obeyed. My father, a soldier, had been fighting in Burma and had been captured by the Japanese. He never talked about this apart from one mention when I had been reading a novel set in a Japanese prisoner of war camp where the inmates ate rats. I had commented on this, to which he replied, "It tastes very similar to chicken," and left the room. The debate about whether or not the atomic bombs should have been dropped continues to this day. Likewise, the part this action played in Japanese surrender on the day the second bomb was dropped. We are told to balance the aftermath with the loss of life that would have occurred otherwise. However, because of what is known now, we do try harder, I believe, to prevent nuclear or atomic bombs ever being used again, even by rogue nations. This last week, also on the subject of heroes and superheroes, I received a cartoon on Facebook. It showed Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had just charged them to go out into the world, healing, casting out demons, and baptizing in his name, and told them he had given them powers to do this. One of the disciples is shown wearing a Superman outfit, and Jesus speaks, saying, "They needed to talk further." We do all need to talk further to prevent war and atomic bombs, but we also need our heroes and superheroes. And when it comes to impossible missions on world peace, there is one man I believe we should all turn to. Jesus Christ. Rosemary A. Baker.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. You'll not be surprised to learn that there are quite a few letters continuing about the Silver Hill development, so we will start off with those relating to Silver Hill.
And the first one of those is from Kate McIntosh. Sir, you report on July the 16th, a council spokesman, unidentified, as saying that the 2003 brief for Silver Hill was advisory. That must be music to the ears of all developers wishing to make a killing in and around Winchester. Our cabinet members, who assure us at frequent intervals in the course of their lengthy proceedings, are conscientiously concerned only to obtain what is best for the city and its residents when it comes to the most important tool in their armoury for obtaining what is best in new developments. The planning brief are content merely to advise. We already have two consultants' reports on station approach, which we are assured have no status and are abandoned. These were followed at last by a series of public consultation meetings to be followed by an ideas competition for developing a design or design brief. Is the product of this lengthy and costly process also to be merely advisory for any developer to dismember, bone and fillet, provided only that he offers the highest bid for the site? That's from Kate McIntosh, MBE, RIBA, West End Terrace, Winchester.
The second letter on the subject is written by George Helke. It's headed Partial Approach. Sir, at the Guildhall meeting last Wednesday evening, Councillor Godfrey declared that the piecemeal development of Silver Hill area was unacceptable, as it would conflict with the master plan. Has he not noticed that the attractive appearance of the High Street is due precisely to the fact that no two buildings are alike? Its development was clearly piecemeal. A master plan does not require all buildings to be designed by the same architect. Let us keep the old buildings in the area and Cross Keys Passage, allow other architects to contribute designs, and we shall have a much more interesting end product. That was written by George Helke, Edgar Road, Winchester.
And the third letter on Silver Hill, parking concerns from Norman Roberts. Sir, Penny Liddon, July 16th, is worried that cars from the new homes proposed for this site, Silver Hill of course, will add to parking problems in surrounding streets. A legitimate concern perhaps, although the fact that there are more on-site parking spaces proposed largely in basements than there are flats and houses should minimise or eliminate this problem with a little help from the parking permit system if necessary. Of course, if every adult resident were to have a car, then there would indeed be something to worry about. However, I hope that most would appreciate their location near the centre of town, station and buses, to walk, cycle or take public transport much of the time, resulting in a cleaner, healthier and safer city. Hopefully, there would be less demand for car parking as alternatives are developed and maybe no need for underground garages as proposed. Norman Roberts, Avenue Road, Winchester.
M. Coker Davis writes about EU importance. Sir, given the fiasco surrounding elected members of Winchester City Council wishing to ignore the public voice over issues such as the Silver Hill and River Park development, can I request clarification on a further issue of significant importance? We are, as a nation, soon due to decide on staying in or leaving the EU. I am under the impression that this will be a free vote throughout the political system. Although if anyone truly believes the party whips will not be bearing a heavy hand on this, then Narnia truly does exist. Can I request, please, that through the good pages of the Chronicle, that our local MP, Steve Brine, and members of the council clarify their positions on this issue? Apparently, they are meant to represent not only the residents of Winchester, but their political party as well. Clear, open and honest answers would be appreciated, not political waffle or silence. M. Coker Davis, Upper Brook Street, Winchester.
Tim Bittlestone writes, "We're far behind. Sir, if anyone has any doubt as to just how far behind the times the Silver Hill development is, I urge them to take a day trip to Tower Hill Tube, cross over Tower Bridge to the Mayor's office and see the fantastic public space that is driving tourism and the quality of life for the residents. The developer's vision for this space is exactly the sort of thinking we need in Winchester. Our council is taking us backwards. And they need to see what good looks like." Tim Biddleston, Abbotsworthy.
This letter is headed "Planning to Fail." It's from Rosemary Howland. "Sir, how can we have faith in those responsible for planning in Winchester if they approve developments like the one at West End or Park Road? It is up on a high bank, and in colour, shape and size, it bears no relationship to anything in the area, old or new. We have the Silver Hill disaster, with at least one proposed building looking like a prison. We also have the sheer madness of closing the Andover Road, and soon we shall have the development in the cattle market area. Planning in the city is in the hands of the planning committee, advised by the planning officers. Perhaps it is time for a change, and have it done by people who really know our ancient city and are sympathetic to it. Rosemary Howland, Legion Lane, Kingsworthy."
Sarah Shawcross writes about being unrepresented. "Sir, I have just received a courteous letter from a local city councillor relating to the proposed development at Pitt Vale, in which he urges me to write to the planning department with comments so that, quote, the council can have a balanced view of public opinion, unquote. I have replied to him, asking what assurances he can give me that any letters I write, and there have been many at every stage of development that I object to, are even read, or that any decision they might come to is as a result of a balanced view of public opinion. I am still reeling with horror at the appalling sets of decisions that the council has been making regarding the proposed development at Silver Hill. The councillors, en masse, need to see their doctors regarding their sight in their hearing. Do they not read the newspapers and read the dozens of letters and articles week after week against the proposed development as it now stands? Did they not notice a demonstration of reasonable, educated, well-informed local people numbering over 1,000? Did they not wonder at the increased attendance at the council meetings? I hazard a guess that there is a mountain of mail protesting against the development and possibly a handful in favour. Where is the balanced view of public opinion in all of that? If it is a balanced view that they have taken, which so obviously flies in the face of legality, reason, sense, and against the weight of public opinion, what could the counterbalance possibly be? The conjectures one is forced to confront are very worrying indeed. Yours sincerely, but totally unrepresented by members of the City Council, Sarah Shawcross, Sarum Road, Winchester."
Ray Cobbett from Hampshire Friends of the Earth writes, "Backward steps. Sir, In 10 short weeks, the new government is well ahead, unpicking the last 10 years of modest but steady progress on climate change. So far, the tax break on clean cars has been abolished, and the changes made to the standards on zero-carbon housing. Subsidies for the cheapest forms of renewable energy have been scrapped, while billions have been put aside for subsidising nuclear energy. And now, the Green Deal, which was meant to promote home energy efficiency and thus lower fuel bills, has also been dumped. Planning laws are being amended almost continuously to make fracking easier following its democratic rejection in Lancashire, and sensitive sites are no longer protected. More can be expected as the government demands extra savings from the department responsible for the environment, viewed by the likes of George Osborne as soft targets. It was a leading Conservative who first warned that you did not achieve economic prosperity at the expense of the environment. Perhaps the new Environment Minister should start by reading Mrs. Thatcher's speeches to the United Nations. From Ray Cobbett, Hampshire Friends of the Earth, Beach Road, Emsworth.
Here's a positive letter from John and Wendy Hunt, headed Great Defence. Sir, I'm writing to say a real well done to the builders from Rokon who were working in Water Lane for 6 weeks from the beginning of June until a couple of weeks ago. The wall, which is a flood defence, looks really great. It actually adds something to our lane, and several friends have said how much it complements the area. The builders who were working here were really excellent. They tidied up as they worked, and we did not hear any catcalling or bad language. The work was completed in the estimated time also. So thank you to Winchester City Council for choosing this company, and thank you to Rokon for sending the right guys to do the job. John and Wendy Hunt, Water Lane, Winchester.
Butterfly conservation since 1980, writes Josephine York. Sir, my husband, George York, was heartened by your report, July the 16th, of the 25th anniversary of Magdalen Hill Down Butterfly Reserve, which in fact was created by him in 1980. His passion for lepidoptery prompted him to set up several reserves in the area. His personal contacts with notable wildlife enthusiasts, such as David Attenborough, who visited Magdalen Hill, enabled him to make his own modest contribution to wildlife conservation in this remarkable, beautiful region with the invaluable support of volunteers for posterity. That's from Josephine York, Hughenden, Shawford.
Susan Morrow writes, thank you. Sirs, I have always enjoyed reading letters in the Hampshire Chronicle. I would especially like to thank Mr. Frank Williams for his contribution, July the 23rd. I too agree with the fact that Tetcher Jones was incredibly snooty. I was going to reply at the time, but I would have not been as brilliant as Mr. Williams. Long reign the buskers, including Mr. Williams. They cheer a dull day and help make Winchester what it is, a homely, welcoming city. This is from Susan Morrow, Mountbatten Place, Kingsworthy.
That concludes the letters, and we now move on to items of historical interest, and we have them from 200, 100, 50 and 25 years ago.
Okay, 200 years ago. This is entitled Bonaparte Spared. Mercy has again been extended to the rebel Bonaparte. His life has been spared by British generosity, and he is about to leave our shores. We trust never to return for the island of St. Helena, the spot which has been selected by our government as the future resident of the guilty exile. The magnanimity displayed by Britain on this occasion will be extolled by posterity, and when the narrative of our triumphs is perused, no blot of malignity or vindictiveness will be found to stain this bright page of our history. We have extended our forgiveness to a man whose deadly hate to England was predominant in all his actions, and whose greatest ambition was its subjugation.
Quite.
100 years ago, this was from July the 31st, 1915, and it's entitled Drinking Times. The new order regulating the sale of intoxicating liquor in Southampton and within a six-mile radius from the Bargate comes into operation on Monday next, and licence holders and others should carefully note its implications and provisions. Amongst the places that will be affected are Bishopstoke, Botley, Chandler's Ford, Eastleigh and Horton Heath. The hours during which intoxicating liquor may be sold or supplied in any licensed premises or club are between noon and 2:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. The hours will be the same on Sundays, with the exception that the noon sale must not commence before a half hour after 12.
50 years ago was July the 31st, 1965. The heading is Central Traffic Plan. Winchester City Council burnt the midnight oil on Wednesday evening, taking nearly 4 hours to approve the Central Area Traffic Plan in principle, and then spending 2 hours more on the rest of their business before resolving themselves into committee shortly before 1 a.m. to discuss confidential matters. The plan for an internal ring road was accepted by the council as basis for detailed planning. In the scheme are now two alternatives for the route of the road from St Cross to Romsey Road, one shown on the map the council prepared a year ago and another suggested by Hampshire County Council. This section of the road is in the proposals to be built after 1970.
This is 25 years ago, 27th of July 1990. Fighting proposal. Residents of the Dever Valley turned out in force on Wednesday to voice their opposition to Eagle Star's plan for a £5,000 home, Newtown at Mitchell Dever Station. There was standing room only at the packed public meeting, which was unanimous in its support for setting up an action group to fight the proposal. Every one of the 150 people assembled in Mitchell Dever's Northbrook Hall voted in favour of launching the Dever Society to stop the new town and work for the long-term future of the area. To avoid any criticism of NIMBYism, the new Dever Society appointed an impartial chairman from outside Mitchell Dever.
Next, we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, which will then be followed by Westminster Diary.
So first the editorial comment, which is headed, "How many times must we lock horns?" It is the age-old argument, the chronic need for more housing versus the impact on the existing community. As the locals of Pitt raise their heckles towards fresh plans for the 350-home estate at Pitt Vale, it marks a new chapter of what will undoubtedly be a long, drawn-out battle. Already the developer Linden has knocked 150 homes off the project in this poker-style struggle, and as the Hampshire Chronicle reveals this week, they have now carried out their own studies into the impact of traffic on local roads. One thing is sure in the ongoing battles between developers and the community: it will take an inordinate amount of time and money before it is resolved. How can that be beneficial to the public purse?
Letter from Westminster this week is written by the Winchester MP Steve Bryan. A new parliament, especially this one, is always supercharged with activity. I am busy at the Department of Health and we've a packed legislative agenda in government time. Meanwhile, last month's summer budget has fired all of that up, and there are, as I am learning, is the business of government, obviously some big battles ahead. However, in addition to all that, there are always big moments in any parliament which test so much more than your politics. One such example comes early in September when a newly elected Labour MP will bring his private member's bill before the Commons. The assisted dying bill is not new. It emerged during the last session under the stewardship of Lord Charlie Falconer. But as we expected, it's back and demanding the attention of MPs. As a Christian, I do, of course, have strong views. But over the summer break, I want to read as widely as I can on the subject, study the legislation itself, and have various groups coming to see me. I will be present for the debate and vote, and will seek to catch the speaker's eye. If you have views, and especially personal experiences you feel you can share with me, I will be honoured to hear from you. Please write or email stevebryan.mp@parliament.uk. Regular readers will know of my work on cancer in the last Parliament, and that focus has not faded. This month we had the launch of a comprehensive report from the Independent Cancer Task Force, which opens with the sobering fact that some 27 million people alive in England today will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lives. Yet, while progress hasn't been uniform, we do know the 10-year survival rates in this country are improving all the time. Still, though, we must do better. We want to have the best cancer survival rates in the world, and we need to, for the sake of our NHS in the future. The report outlines 6 strategic priorities, including a radical upgrade in prevention and public health, and a national ambition to achieve earlier diagnosis. You can find this report via www.cancerresearchuk.org. Finally, for this time, I am once again throwing open my allocation of PMQs, that's parliamentary questions.
Prime Minister's questions, thank you.
Tickets to my constituents in a series of free and fair ballots. Do call 01961 791100, that's 01962 791110, if you wish to take part.
Now, lighting up times. Today, Friday the 31st of July, the sun rose at 5:30 in the morning and will set at 5 to 9 in the evening. And Wednesday of next week, that's the 5th of August, sunrise is at 25 to 6 in the morning and sunset is at 9:15 in the evening. There are no other special announcements, but if you know anyone else who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have any problems with your memory stick or your player, the person to contact is Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370. That's 01962 870 370. There's a laminated card with this information inside each wallet should you need it, but please leave the card inside the wallet when you return it. We now move on to items of general news interest.
This item is entitled RSPCA in Appeal to Find Tortoise Owners. An animal charity is appealing for information about after 2 tortoises were left in considerable pain after being bitten by a dog and abandoned outside a Winchester zoo. The Herman tortoises were dumped in a plastic container outside Marwell's doors in what is being described as a desperate state. The pair were rushed to a vet after their shells were found to be cracked and bleeding. According to information left with the tortoises and subsequent examination by vets, it is thought the injuries were caused by being bitten by dogs. Pets are now recovering at the RSPCA Stubbington Ark branch after they were discovered at Marwell Zoo at the start of the month. The RSPCA charity is now appealing for anyone with information to come forward. They have released information about a pair of women who they believe may be able to help with their investigations. 2 women, one older with blonde hair and a younger woman, were seen carrying a purple container towards the entrance of the zoo at around 9:10 p.m. on July the 1st. The container was left covered with a plastic sheet that looked like a pond liner and weighed down by a dog bowl. Reptiles were left inside, lying on blood-soaked newspapers and were actively bleeding. According to the charity, an anonymous letter was left with the pair saying that due to financial hardship, the owners could no longer care for the animals. said the injuries were caused by the family dog who bit them whilst playing weeks before they were left at the zoo. RSPCA Inspector Jan Edwards said, although the charity understood the difficult decisions are made at times of financial hardship, there was no excuse for leaving the tortoise in the condition they were found in. She said, I understand that people sometimes experience difficulty and hardship when owning pets, and I do believe that the owners of this pair were desperate. In this case, the owners were clearly sorry and were fond of the animals. They clearly thought that they were doing the right thing, but the reality is that these animals were left overnight with pretty nasty injuries, and it is unacceptable to allow them to suffer in this way. The fact that these injuries were also caused some weeks ago by their pet dog also means that the tortoises would have been in significant pain for a long period of time. It is every pet owner's duty to ensure that their animals are kept safe from harm, and also to ensure that, in unfortunate circumstances like this, people seek the appropriate help to safeguard the well-being of their pets. The charity is now urging the public to help with their inquiries. There's a photograph of the tortoise. It's one where you can see the cut where the dog has bit the tortoise.
Church welcomes priest. A Winchester church community has welcomed a new priest with a special service. Led by Reverend David Williams, Bishop of Basingstoke, the service at St Barnabas Church in Week saw a full congregation welcome Reverend Ed Dines. Area Dean Reverend Paul Kennedy and Archdeacon Venerable Canon Michael Harley, himself a curate of the church some 35 years ago, were also present. Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Angela Clear, City Councillors Helen Osborne and Anne Weir, as well as clergy and leaders of other local churches and charitable organisations, attended. St Barnabas Choir with Barney's Community Choir sang The Lord is My Shepherd, and a video was screened from St Philip's in Yei, South Sudan, which St Barnabas has been partnered with over a number of years. Reverend Dines was previously a curate in Knights Enham near Andover, and many of his former parishioners came to wish him well. He was previously a teacher, both in the UK and Germany, after studying at Trinity College in Bristol, and was ordained in 2011.
Concerns over rights to buy. Winchester councillors have raised concerns about the proposed sale of housing association properties. The government has announced that it wants to extend the right to buy to be paid for by selling the most expensive council houses. With Winchester property amongst the most expensive in England, that could threaten city council-owned homes. Two notices of motion were put before the council, put in by Labour Group leader Janet Berry and Liberal Democrat councillor Martin Todd. Councillor Todd's motion said, I noted with alarm the shortage of affordable rented homes in Winchester, and I am very concerned that the proposed government plans risk making matters worse. Councillor Berry said that the proposal would strip the council of its ability to manage its own housing stock, making it harder for people on lower incomes and increasing the chances of families spending time in temporary accommodation. She said she was worried new homes could be sold instead of going to people in housing need. Councillor Jamie Scott said he was worried that council houses could be sold to private landlords. His ward includes Stanmore, which has seen scores of former council homes now in private hands and let to students. The motions were referred back to the next meeting of Cabinet. Councillor Todd said he wanted to highlight the problem of losing social housing when there are over 2,000 people on the waiting list. He said there was a basic unfairness that councils still owned houses could be forced to pay for a scheme that mostly benefits communities in council areas that don't. Councillor Todd highlighted the comparison between Test Valley and Winchester. Both have a very similar amount of social housing in total, but Test Valley has 7,270 housing association houses and Winchester has 5,000 council houses and 2,406 housing association houses. Councillor Todd warned that Winchester could be forced to sell off family homes to private landlords in order to fund rights to buy in Test Valley and other parts of the country.
swimming efforts are recognised. Budding swimmers were rewarded for their efforts after taking part in Winchester City Penguins' Swim for the Future programme. Children from Hairstock Primary were presented with certificates by Ali McLean and Emma Back from the swimming club at an end-of-term assembly. The Swim for the Future programme is funded by Winchester Round Table and offers 5 intensive lessons to top up school swimming. The aim is to get more local children able to swim at least 25 metres by the time they leave primary school. And this is accompanied by a photograph of these children from Hairstock Primary School, about a dozen of them with their teachers.
Thanks for your generosity. Winchester District Christian Aid Committee has thanked people for their generosity in Christian Aid Week. More than £31,000 was raised locally, said Branch Chairman John C. Wilkinson. He said, "Once again, this is an excellent result, with particular thanks going to the army of volunteers who have the challenging job of delivering envelopes to homes and then collecting them. Through your efforts, poor families around the world, of all races, religions or none, will be helped to escape from grinding poverty and look forward to a brighter future."
Jeers after Holmes' plan gets green light. Civic chiefs were met with a chorus of "shame on you" after agreeing to development plans next to an ancient monument in Winchester. Councillors agreed to 11 homes in Kingsgate Street at Wellington House, which includes the demolition of the current 1960s building sitting astride Kingsgate. Around 26 letters of objection were received from neighbours, citing issues around traffic generation, problems with visibility and pressure on off-street parking at the site of Wellington House. But despite the numerous complaints from residents how extra cars would add to the already very narrow roads, councillors voted 6-2 in favour of Winchester College's application. Their vote was met with shouts of "shame on you" and "you've done it again" from the residents during their exodus from the meeting. Councillor David McLean earlier asked Martin Holmes of the Residents Association, "Do you accept that you live in an area with very narrow roads that has to evolve?" Mr. Holmes replied, "My experience is that people who buy houses in that area accept they can't park near their property. I fully recognise that the ancient infrastructure is a constraint, but we have to put the safety of the pedestrians first." Councillor Fiona Mather and Councillor Ian Tate received applause after they spoke out against the plans, to which the Chair, Councillor Lawrence Ruffle, said, "This is not a comedy show. I do not expect anyone to clap anything."
County's bodies push for power. Hampshire councils are to push their case to become a huge combined authority to government by the end of this month. All councils, including Hampshire County Council, Winchester, Southampton and Portsmouth, are involved in the bid and are agreeing, either formally or informally, to support it, Eastleigh Borough Council leader Keith House revealed. Leaders of all 15 Hampshire and the Isle of Wight councils have signed a letter sent to communities and local government secretary Greg Clark. They want to agree a deal with the government to seize power over how millions of pounds are spent on areas such as transport, health and social care and skills. It follows the raft of devolution powers Chancellor George Osborne has transferred to the new Greater Manchester Combined Authority. Government is encouraging councils to come together to deliver services. Though some councils have agreed to support the bid formally, including Hampshire County Council, Eastleigh has not at this stage, while Southampton City Council leader Simon Letts has told councillors they will vote on the move in September. Councils have to produce a further refined statement by early September. The combined authority would likely be led by a committee of the leaders of authorities across Hampshire. Councillor House said it was important to emphasise that a combined authority was not a merger of councils or a super council. It is simply about councils working together to deliver shared visions and aims and objectives, he said. The principal attraction to such an arrangement is the potential devolution of power from Whitehall, which must be positive in terms of greater localism and decision-making and provision of services. Hampshire councils must look to seize this opportunity. Although Councillor House said the government had a tendency to devolve down things it found difficult, he said he would rather see decisions on issues like the NHS made locally. County Council leader Roy Perry said both local enterprise partnerships, Enterprise M3 and Solent, supported the idea.
Pullout greeted. Hampshire civic chiefs have welcomed a wind farm developer's climb down over a planning challenge. EDF Energy Renewables has dropped an appeal against the refusal of permission for the 14 turbines on farmland at Bullington Cross, north of Winchester. Winchester, Test Valley and Basingstoke and Dean councils have welcomed the decision. EDF proposed a 14-turbine wind farm on land near the intersection of the A303 and the A34, affecting all three district council areas. The application was refused at a joint meeting of the three authorities' planning committees in June 2014. Councillors believed Bullington Cross was the wrong site. Councillor Michael Reid, Winchester City Council's portfolio holder for built environment, speaking for all three councils, said, "This is good news for the people of all three districts. Whilst supporting the principle of sustainable energy generation, we had a number of objections to the proposed wind farm at Bullington Cross, including its impact on the rural landscape, heritage assets and ecology." Councillor Reid added, "The decision by EDF not to pursue the appeal further will save all the authorities much time and money and will be welcomed by many residents."
Allegra's great dreams live on. The family of a Winchester schoolgirl who died suddenly have set up a charity to fulfil her dreams through helping others. Olympic hopeful Allegra Whittome, 16, died in February after falling ill and pulling out of a sports competition just hours before it was due to start. A post-mortem revealed she died of natural causes. The popular teenager, who studied at St Swithin's, was known for competing in a variety of sports, including horse riding, swimming, athletics and lacrosse, and aimed to represent Team GB in the Olympics. Her parents, Lucy and Ashley Whittome, of Weald, near Alresford, have now set up Allegra's Ambition in the hope of bringing their daughter's dreams to life by supporting other young people. Funds raised will be donated to the charities that help youngsters develop positive behaviour through sport, outdoor activities and encouraging values that will enable them to be happier. Friends, family and her formal school community are targeting their first big fundraiser next month when 500 people will take part in the New Forest Marathon in her memory.
Return of historic fire pump. Winchester Cathedral is already a history lover's dream, but now it is even more reason to hold that title. Last Thursday, firefighters returned a World War II fire pump to its original home in the nave roof space. It was part of the fire precautions during war and was previously on display in the small museum at the former fire station in North Walls. Although the pump is not dated, it is believed to have been made locally. Fire station manager Ben Smith has recently become a cathedral tower guide and offered the item back to the Norman Church, where it now sits beside the fire warden's chair. He said, "It's good that the pump is being returned to the cathedral, which we know is where it came from. Given that its capacity is just 100 litres and it's a hand pump, I wouldn't like to fight a roof fire with it today." Leader of the cathedral's guides, Jeff Steer, said, "The pump is part of the cathedral and the city's history and will now be there for people to see as another one of the cathedral's hidden stories." And there's a photograph of two firemen holding this pump.
Veteran reporter bids adieu after 50 years. The longest-serving reporter in Hampshire has said goodbye to full-time journalism 50 years after starting his career on the Hampshire Chronicle. John Hoskins began on the Chronicle as a teenage junior reporter in July 1965 before joining the Southern Daily Echo 7 years later. Last Friday, the court reporter was paid a rare tribute when five judges at Southampton Crown Court gathered to thank him for his years of service. Judge Derwin Hope from Winchester said, "John, you are in the highest rank of all. You are a legend in your own time." And there are two photographs accompanying this short article. One is of John Hoskins 50 years ago, I imagine, looking a bit like a movie star, a black and white photograph. And then the other one is of one of the judges presenting John with a present, which is slightly aggravating because it's whatever it is in a blue box tied up with a fancy red ribbon, but nothing in the article says what's in it.
Diana honoured for Enigma work. An elderly Winchester resident who was once intrinsic in cracking the Enigma code has been awarded for her services. Diana Fawkes, now 101, was the subject of a special ceremony to honour her as a life member of Bletchley Park for her contributions to the war effort. The resident of the old parsonage in Otterbourne was praised by family and friends at the small gathering on Thursday, when oral history officer for the Trust, Jonathan Byrne, gave a short speech on her actions throughout the Second World War. She was presented with the Bletchley Park commemorative badge, a certificate, and the prestigious Freedom of Bletchley Park. Mrs. Fawkes, who up until last year was living in Twyford, is the eldest daughter of Wing Commander Graham Weir and his wife Mamie, who had a long association with the Brendon Care Home, having donated a wing some years previously. Her service began even before the start of World War II, when she was recruited as a secretary and assistant to Dilly Knox, head of cryptography at GC&CS, who was already working to crack the Enigma code in 1938. She was one of the first to move from offices in London to the newly acquired Bletchley Park, where she remembers the beautiful lawns being dug up to build the now famous huts. She worked with Dilly Knox on schemes to decipher the Enigma code using her fluent German to translate messages. When presented with her award, Mrs. Fawkes said, "There were 1,500 wrens there at the time as me. Why am I so special?" Mr. Byrne said, "Diana's story is special because she is one of the few people who was there before the war and was one of the first people to move into Bletchley."
Gateway regeneration warning. The regeneration of the gateway to Winchester is at risk of resembling an office block in Croydon, a property expert warned councillors. Chris Higgins of the City of Winchester Trust told the town forum that the station approach project needs to widen its scope and include arts facilities. The meeting on Tuesday night heard calls for a master plan eclipsing the cattle market and Carfax areas earmarked for development. City chiefs are preparing a brief for architects ahead of a design competition. Specific demands like a concert hall are not included in the current draft. Mr. Higgins, former head of estates at Winchester University, said, "Winchester's what it is because we love it. The history, the heritage, the environment. We've got to do it well, and we have to do it well with some cultural elements. Don't underestimate the importance of the cultural elements, whether it's a museum or a music centre, or whatever it might be."
Motocross mud just adds to fun. The weather may have caused chaos for some events across Hampshire last weekend, but for one, it just added to the fun. The Netley Marsh Steam and Craft Fair was cut short and the Buck's Head Duck Race at Meonstoke was postponed. But a charity motocross event at Matterley Bowl near Winchester saw the motorcyclists and quad riders revelling in the mud. Within minutes of the start, the churned-up mud was caking the riders. It was the 18th year that the Hampshire Motocross Club has organised the event for leukemia busters. And there are two photographs here. One is of what I imagine is the start of one of the races, with about 10, if not more, motorcyclists getting spattered by mud at the very beginning. And then there's a smaller photograph of a chap on a motorbike. And I say this really because I read the article to you, so I'm guessing that's what it is. Otherwise, you wouldn't really have a clue what it is.
New book to feature German military camp. Anyone interested in the recent Chronicle stories about the German military camp at Barton Farm will welcome news that a Winchester man is writing a book about it. Bill Horde of Worthy Lane Hyde is researching the episode, which saw 9,000 troops from Hesse, based on Downland north of Winchester in 1756-57. He is currently in Dordogne, finishing the book, which he hopes to be published by Christmas. It will include a full-size reproduction of the Wilhelm Boer map that the Chronicle published last week. And there's a little illustration of the map, which is very florid indeed, has lots of illustrations on it as well as the map itself.
Stories of poison marshmallows are hoax, claims vet. Hampshire vets are warning residents about hoax social media posts which suggest dogs have been poisoned in the county. People had taken to the internet warning of dogs' deaths in Twyford, Shawford, Colton Common and Bishop's Waltham following a number of claims dogs had eaten strange substances. A picture was circulated by social media groups, as well as local parish councils, of potentially poisonous marshmallows laced with a blue liquid. But David Freer Cook, director of Shield Veterinary Centre in Bishop's Waltham, said the claims were untrue. He said, "The whole thing is a hoax. We have never seen any cases of it. The pictures that are on Facebook are the same that were circulated 2 years ago. Somebody has created huge confusion." A spokesman from Winchester City Council said the authorities' own inquiries have found no evidence to support the claims.
That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors, who were Jean Carswalk, Ken Clemenson and Barbara Chase, and to our various technical teams. And thanks to our readers, who were Claire Caffrine.
Bye-bye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Peter Lydiard.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.